It's training day for nurses who need to be ready to stop a troubling trend in maternal mortality.
Oh, even though we may only see a life or death situation 5 or 6 times a year, we will see much smaller hemorrhages much more frequently.
That's OB nurse Janice Westfall. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, May 10th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Let's lead off with protecting women during childbirth. The CDC reports 700 women die every year in the U.S. from pregnancy-related complications. GLT's Mary Cullen reports on what's being done to prepare student nurses.
Heartland Community College is training its nursing students to think on their feet through maternal mortality simulations. The college's Dean of Health Sciences and Director of Nursing Education, Jennifer O'Connor, says running students through scenarios like a birth with a hemorrhage will better prepare them for saving mothers in the real world.
What are the things that need to happen and what are the emergent problems that you're going to be caring for? What do those things look like and what are the processes? It's much easier to do that if you get to practice it in a lab.
Data gathered by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists shows the maternal mortality rate increased 26% between 2000 and 2014. O'Connor says the simulation leaves room for students to make mistakes and learn from them before beginning their clinicals.
When you're in that clinical experience and you're in that room with that mom giving birth, you're not really thinking about, oh, is the fundus properly situated or any of those things. You're really thinking about, oh my gosh, wow, this is an amazing human experience that I get to be a part of.
Janice Westfall is a labor and delivery nurse at Advocate Broman. She says even nurses at Advocate go through hemorrhage training to prepare for the worst.
Even one is too many. Even though we may only see a life or death situation 5 or 6 times a year, we will see much smaller hemorrhages much more frequently, but it's important to be prepared for even one.
Once a Heartland nursing student herself, Westfall was the birth trainer, helping the student nurses through the hemorrhage simulation. She says it's not perfectly lifelike. Every birth is different. But Westfall says the training gives the students a glimpse into the realities of the labor and delivery unit. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. Illinois government saw its tax collections surge in April, resulting in an unexpected $1.5 billion. Democrats and Republicans are arguing about what to do with the windfall. The artists who sued the town of Normal over their work on the Uptown mural are now asking for a judge for a restraining order that would temporarily prevent the start of demolition. And we'll be covering this morning's ISU Board of Trustees meeting. They're voting on tuition and fees for next year. The plan is for tuition to hold steady, but fees would jump 12%. It's about $300 extra for a freshman. These stories and more at WGLT.org. GLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, comes your way today at noon and 6 p.m. You might think that bluegrass and hip-hop would mix like oil and water. But gangstagrass banjoist Dan Whitner says the two genres share similar ideas. He says gangstagrass has turned hip-hop fans onto bluegrass and bluegrass fans onto hip-hop. In this Sound Ideas preview with GLT's John Norton, Whitner reminds people the banjo has African origins.
I like to tell people that it's an African-American instrument because of the evolution and the massive history it's had in over 300 years in this country. You know, yeah, coming from Africa and from a proto-instrument over there, and so you'd have maybe like a gourd or a skin over a gourd, and it would be maybe sort of structurally resembling. In this country, the instrument has evolved, and it looks pretty different, structurally different than it did then. And the music and the technique, the way that you play, you know, I play both clawhammer, which is a strumming style, and also a three-finger picking style. It evolved a little bit later, but also has precedence in African techniques of playing. And then the music itself and the culture around it. In the 1850s, the number one popular music was minstrel shows performed by people in blackface. You know, people talk a lot about blackface these days in the news, but I think a lot of folks don't fully understand the extent to which that was hugely ingrained in our society, and I think people don't really talk about that.
What needs to be talked about?
A lot of it, really. I mean, when you just start getting into history, I don't think it's our goal in Gangstagrass to sit down and really make a point and say, here's the thing, here's what you should think, here's what our point is, but we want you to be aware of a lot of this history and just think about what's already come before and all of these things that are influencing our culture and influencing the way we feel right now that people don't necessarily know about or think about consciously, because it's there. You know, if you listen to this music and you think bluegrass and hip-hop should be different things, bluegrass and hip-hop are different people, if you think that, maybe you don't really know the history of these musics fully. Maybe you don't really know that bluegrass is a relatively new genre and hip-hop is a relatively new genre, but both genres have, you know, incredibly deep cultural roots of the different genres of music that influence them. Maybe you're not really listening to the words. Maybe you're not really catching that a lot of the bluegrass concepts and a lot of the hip-hop ideas are very much similar or the same, and that a lot of the same people might really enjoy a lot of this music. So, you know, I think we're trying to fight the idea that there should be division in what we do. And broader than that, we're fighting the idea that there should be all this perceived cultural division in America and in the world.
So I want to play a little bit of the song Home.
Home, 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 home.
My home is the place that locked me up and burned, moved down. The home of that true gambling huff smooth sound, where truth is bound in every pound.
Gangstagrass plays at the Castle Theater in Bloomington on Tuesday. Hear more of this interview with Gangstagrass banjoist Dan Whitner and Sound Ideas at noon and 6 p.m. today on GLT. Before we let you go, happy trails to all our graduating ISU students. Commencement is today and tomorrow here at ISU. You might want to avoid College Avenue if you're driving through. And to all of you Force-sensitive leadoff fans out there, tomorrow is Star Wars Day at Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington. I know my kids like getting photos with the Wookiees. I like pondering how long it took for those guys to make their own Mandalorian costumes. I'm sure it wasn't easy. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at wglt.org.